Heavenly Father, now take the word of God and just bring it home to us. Speak to us through it this morning in a way that is transformative as we open our hearts to receive it. In Christ's name, amen. Well, over the next few months, I'm going to be bringing some messages on themes that are related to the approaching interim period for WPC, and some of the sermons I'm going to be preaching from the book of Acts. Some of them will be coming from Paul's letters to his churches. Today's text is really perfect for a couple Sundays after Easter. So let's go right to it. The Word of God from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Hear the Word of God. Remember that the book of Acts was written by Luke, the same man who wrote the Gospel of Luke. So Luke begins, in my former book, and there he's, of course, referring to the Gospel of Luke. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. It was interesting to me that one thing that kind of jumped out at me was I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach in the Gospel of Luke. Like, Jesus continues to teach. He continues to, like today, like right now. So that's kind of cool. After his sufferings, he showed himself to these men, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John, John the baptizer, he baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" What the disciples are thinking about here is they're thinking about Israel being established as a world power and Rome being overthrown. Is Jesus going to do this now? Is he going to help us overthrow Rome and establish Israel as a world power? And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The grass withers, the flower fades, people come and go. The Word of God stands forever. So it wouldn't be many days now before the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon the church with power on the day of Pentecost. And he, the Holy Spirit, has been empowering the church throughout the world ever since. In some congregations more than others. It depends on the congregation. It depends on the receptivity and openness to the Spirit. It depends upon the sense of need for this power from God within a given congregation. But the Holy Spirit is the power. He is the power that that has been empowering the church for 2,000 years. Today, the point is very simple and straightforward. The power of the Spirit is for witness. The power of the Holy Spirit is for the church's witness to Jesus Christ, who is risen and ascended, who is present among his church by his Spirit, and is surely to come again. And as we see from the text this morning, this is a witness that's meant to expand. It's supposed to start locally with Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem, of course, is Wyndham. Start with Jerusalem, then expand to Judea and Samaria. We might compare that to New Hampshire, southern New Hampshire, and then to the ends of the earth. And the witness is supposed to expand that way by the power of the Spirit.
We live in a very individualistic culture here in America. Most of us are concerned most of the time with our individual comfort and our individual fulfillment and that of our families. It's just very natural. That's nothing really wrong with that. That's just the way we are. We look to have our individual needs met by our very nature, by how we're made. So being witnesses for Christ is not as much on our radar. We're pretty much seeking to stay afloat in our own lives, with our daily work and family responsibilities, our investment in our children's lives, staying even with our hectic schedules. It's only natural that that's what we're, for 95% concerned with. And it's only natural then to view the church in an individualistic way. It's the church is forgetting our own needs met spiritually and the needs of our kids. So I'm just saying it's very common and very natural for people to think like consumers regarding the church, instead of thinking biblically, where the church is clearly described in the Bible as a committed community joined together and interdependent in their mutual love for Christ and then going out to make disciples. Jesus tells us in Acts chapter 1 that the power of the Holy Spirit is received for our corporate witness to Christ. True to our nature and to our culture, we tend to think of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, being for our own individual empowerment, for a better life, making me more holy and pure inside, helping me to overcome my problems, guiding me along the path of self-fulfillment, answering, getting my prayers answered. And of course, that's part of the story. That is part of what happens by the Spirit. But it's just part of the story. And it's a rather nearsighted and self-focused view at that. The larger view, the long view, is that the power of the Holy Spirit is for our witness as a community for Jesus Christ, with each of us making our own personal contribution to that corporate witness. The power of the Holy Spirit, when it truly comes upon a congregation, moves us together to ask questions like, how can we together bring people into a passionate love for God? How can we together be instruments of spiritual renewal within our community? Put verse 8 up once again, just verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and as a result, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The power is for witness. And that witness is meant to be expanding ever outward, as it did in the early church, which you read about in the book of Acts. And our individual part in the corporate witness becomes priority in our lives. All the other things that we have going on in our lives remain important. We're still equally concerned about everything else that we're always concerned about, but overlaying all of that is this desire, empowered by the Spirit, born of the Spirit, to be witnesses for Christ, whatever we're doing, at work, family. We have this overlying concern to be witnesses for the Lord. That's what happens, not of our own, but when the Spirit comes upon us. Beginning last October, I hosted an Alpha course in our home, and I had three women and two men join the group. We started meeting in October, and we met weekly. 14 weeks, so we met through February. Now, the Alpha Course, some of you have taken it. I recommend it to everybody. The Alpha Course is the best systematic building block presentation of the Christian faith that I've come across in all my years of ministry. And in a very beautiful and comfortable way, over 14 sessions, the Alpha Course eventually encourages people to go deeper with Jesus and deeper with the Holy Spirit. And some individuals in our congregation came to Christ through the Alpha Course. So I offered it in the fall, and I advertised that class in the Wyndham Independent, hoping to draw people from our Jerusalem to the class. To attract some people from the town to the Alpha Course. There's nothing better for someone who maybe doesn't have a lot of church background, or someone who looks at church as probably the most boring thing on the planet, has had that kind of idea of the church, but who has a spiritual curiosity. Or someone who's been in the church but never really has received the kind of teaching that puts it all together for you, that many people in churches today have received their theology piecemeal, with a piece here, a piece there, a story here, a story there, and the Alpha Course helps people like that put it all together, their theology together, in a systematic way. Well, nobody from our town came. From having seen the article in the paper, in the Wyndham Independent, which to me speaks of the need to find a more effective way of promoting it in the town. Four of the members of our Alpha group were members of our church. The fifth member lived just down the road, and his name is Andy, and he stopped into my office one day just looking for a pastor to talk to. And I wasn't there at the time, so Louise took his name and number, and I called him up, and we got together. And we talked, as we talked, what's going through my head is, boy, I think the Alpha Course would really be good for Andy. And I said to him, here are a couple of the opening sessions, the videos. I said, take these home, look at them, and see what you think. And so he took the two opening videos home and looked at them, and it seemed to click for him. So Andy started coming to the Alpha Course, and Andy stayed with us throughout the Alpha Course. And now he's starting to come to our church. Andy is sitting right there. That's exciting. That's really exciting. So what I want to say is one idea for the immediate future, say beginning in the fall, is for Wyndham Presbyterian Church to find an effective way of promoting the Alpha Course in Wyndham. One person at a time, this is how people can be reached. This is our Jerusalem. And this is where our corporate witness is to start, in this town, the surrounding communities. And then expands outward from there. What happens is that people come to the Lord locally, and then they get plugged into the church, and then gradually their horizons get expanded through the church's mission outreaches beyond the local church. And we've seen these horizons expanding among some of you. The power of the Holy Spirit is for witness. It's for the corporate witness of the church to its community. The power of the Holy Spirit, once it's received by anyone who turns from sin and comes to Christ and asks for the infilling and empowering of the Spirit, it's for witness. It's to bring new people to Christ. It's to advance the kingdom first in our own community and then beyond to the ends of the earth. That's what this is teaching. And each individual Christian needs to be open and receptive to the Spirit's empowering, overcoming such barriers as fear and pride and ignorance. And the Alpha Course addresses all those barriers. I'm just saying, I don't know a better tool for growing the church. So what will need to happen is that there's going to need to be leadership raised up to run the Alpha courses in their homes. Jesus tells us in Luke 11, 9 to 13, let's read this. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So it needs to start with us, where we as individuals, and you know, this has happened to so many within our congregation. It's coming to terms with the brokenness of one's life, turning from sin, turning to Christ in repentance, asking for the Spirit of God to fill your life as you turn your life over to Christ. And this text is so clear. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so it happens, individual, 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 individual. And when it's in mass, then you're talking spiritual revival. And that has an amazing effect, person by person, on people outside the church. And so may the Spirit-driven events and happenings we read about in the book of Acts be happening here and now and in the future of WPC. Heavenly Father, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we mean, fill us with yourself, the bread of life. Fill us with your Spirit. And we're here today, open and receptive, with a real sense of need for this power from you. Empower us together for effective witness to your grace and glory, your love and salvation as found in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing our last hymn. Stand up and bless the Lord.